Well, of course, I mean, my perspective is distorted since I was locked in for 6 months and I'm out now for a few weeks, but I need time to digest everything that happened during this period. And what I can say is from the perspective of somebody who was watching that from the inside, if that's good to say. Well, of course, I mean, from the inside, the thing didn't develop in a very interesting way. In fact, since we were arrested, next 5.5 months were almost totally the same on a daily level. We were locked in isolation with the other people who are in this kind of prison. I don't know if it is investigative prison, I don't know if that is the term in English. And during that period, our amount of information that we were allowed to get and able to get was very, very limited. We had only this kind of once or twice a monthly visit from the family and the lawyer's visits. And of course, you know, you cannot use lawyers or the family visits, which are the only links to the outside world, to get much information on things going on outside. So what I was able to follow was through the media that I was able to receive, like newspapers, radio and things like that. And of course, well, the things that I saw when I got out, and in fact, the level that the whole thing reached, which I really didn't expect from the beginning. Of course, I mean, you're aware that there was all kinds of people involved in the campaign outside, and for me, I have to say, it was a little bit, not a little bit, but totally, unbelievable to see all of those kinds of people involved. The spectrum of support went from logically our comrades from our anarcho-syndicalist union, then on how can I call it, a wider scale or larger circle of people from revolutionary left that are coming from different backgrounds, like Trotskyist, Maoist, even some Stalinists. I mean, which is a kind of bizarre, but I have to note that the revolutionary left is very, very tiny in Serbia, and we, well, more or less know all of us, we know each other personally in this manner, and that was more or less to be expected. This is what I thought would be the high point of the organizing of campaign outside, together, of course, with the international support that came from our sections and the anarchist and anarcho-syndicalist collectives and groups outside. And this is what I was really, as I say, expecting to be the maximum of the whole thing. But obviously this thing, not only on the local level, as I can see now, but also on the regional level, including, for example, Croatia, Slovenia, even Bosnia, Macedonia and so on, which is, I think, very important. And of course, things like Greece or Bulgaria, the whole Balkans we are talking about, Turkey also. We saw a much wider spectrum of people getting involved, especially on the level from ex-Yugoslavia. You can see the on the whole ex-Yugoslavian level, you can see how can I say, activism or some kind of activities on our behalf of the people who are coming from something that I would describe as a left liberal spectrum, to the people that I wouldn't be sure if I should keep them in the left liberal spectrum and would probably put them in something more right wing. Some kind of right-wing liberals, which is absolutely, it was a shock somehow for me, and I guess also for other comrades. And we could probably spend the whole talk on analyzing politically why and what are the reasons behind that, and who got political means and why did they get it to use them and all of these things, but I guess this is not a topic to discuss. Anyhow, the point of all of that, or the result of all of that, was especially in the last 3 months, I have to say that, for example, our union was under very heavy police pressure during the, especially in the beginning of the maybe few 2 or 3 months. And during this period, our organization themselves had to work in a semi-legal way because of the constant pressure that was going on the physical level, also people being followed, questioned by the police and things like that. And in the beginning, the whole campaign, now I'm also talking from the perspective of somebody who just got out and now is trying to make an overview, was just starting to develop, or it was very hard to develop. But then in the last 3 months of the case, you could see total eruption of different actions and events made on behalf of us and things like that. So, and as you say, it ended up with anarchism coming to the mainstream, which is a nice thing. Especially now, of course, now there is a question of our positioning on the mainstream stage, if you want to call it. That, and many of the interviews and the talks that we have with the media these days are pushed in this direction of getting us to present our positions more thoroughly so that people could, classify us or see our positions. And of course, you can see a huge amounts of total idiocy in interpretation of what anarchism is. You can see what journalists who are working for the police are writing. You can see, especially when or you can see people coming from the left liberal position trying to justify or to explain the event in some legalistic terms on one side as a problem of a juridical system, or on the other side as they're accepting this framed case and they're saying that, well, okay, they did it, but it was a child's game and this kind of type of or push to infantilize our position, which is also quite bad. But again, it gives us a lot of much more space to present our position from our selves and to explain it better.
Mm-hmm. How does do your actions compare to, for instance, similar actions which are actually much more extreme in the case of, for instance, the burning of the American embassy and the political content of that, which is actually state-sanctioned violence and a critique of the state and a direct attack on the Greek state, for clear political reasons as a political statement, rather than as a one could say almost depoliticized mass eruption of vague anti-imperialism, anti-Americanism, ultra-nationalism, and so on.
Well, that's one of the important cases, the important issues, I think, because it's also, I think, opening again the a line between us and the left liberals who supported us all of this time. And this is the fact that we never wanted to see our case as something that can be used for the thing is the following. We can see now a big number, for example, of people who nominally supported us not coming to the position to demand that these other people be tried for international terrorism, but are using this case to show that there's something horrible as burning of American embassy passed like that, while something so childish as this passed in a much worse case. But the thing is, and it's, I think, linked to the general political situation in Serbia and the questions of the activities of the left liberals and us on the level, for example, street anti-fascism and fights against ultra-nationalism and so on, is that we never wanted to see our actions or the actions that are taken on our behalf as actions in which the state will get legitimacy to do things to some different people, as much as we don't like these other people. We do, it's a question like of these fascists walking around the streets. You have this kind of subcultural milieu of totally brainwashed neo-Nazi morons. And the thing is that we can see these two types of anti-fascism being born right now, or not being born, but now be for the first time organizing itself in a much larger level. And one level is made by the people coming from this left liberal scene, in which they are how can I, appealing to the morality of the state and the fact that they are not doing their job right. And on the other side, this grassroots and anti-fascism, which is brought by people coming from our movement or our organization and the people around us from the revolutionary left, which is trying to show that, in fact, the grassroots activities of the people have to be the ones which are going to abolish or to destroy the fascist movement, and that a state which, by the way, has created these fascist organizations in the previous period during the 90s. For example, we have the Serbian state creating, or Serbian secret police creating some of the fascist organizations, which are the main problem today. You have the appeal for the state to ban them, which is totally missed. I mean, the point is that they cannot ban them, they can dissolve them, maybe, but that's not the question of us. Our question is to do it from the other side. So to come back to the issue of the embassies and things like that, is that we do not have any sorrow for the burnt American embassy, and we do not think that people who did it should be trialed for anything, and especially not for international terrorism or for what they are charged, and that is the creation of danger, of public danger, I think, something like that. That's on one side, and this is very important to underline. But on the other side, of course, it is showing that the state has double standards, which is not something that we are surprised or whining about. It's just the reality that we were underlining all the time, and that is that the thing which is somehow going to be publicly accepted much more, or which is going to be in the political interest of the those days present ruling elites, it will be tolerated, or it will be tolerated in a much larger fashion than the activities which are directed against elements which are much more important to the present day ruling class. And we can say, of course, and you can see that on the streets of Belgrade, a Greek capital has a large influx in Serbia, especially in the monetary system, with the bank system, and so on and so on. And in this way, for us, the reaction of the state, even as if it might sound to you strange, it didn't come as a total surprise. Of course, we were shocked with the fact that they are crazy enough to put such a ridiculous charge. But on the other side, we were assured that when they want to do something and it's not in collision with their interests, they will not have any boundaries except the ones which public pushes on them.
I think the question of anti-fascism is an interesting one, because we're seeing almost a popular front against it. There's quite a large degree of solidarity, but within the revolutionary left in Serbia, what do you think are the points that can really bring you together?
That can really
bring you together.
Yeah.
In working together and in creating some kind of joint platform.
Well, the thing is that we first of all find. I'm now talking from the perspective of anarchism or anarcho-syndicalism. Is that on a practical level we need to see a grassroots direct democratic structure being placed as decision-making bodies or. The way that this movement has to function. That's one level. The other level is that we need to make a distinction between fascism and nationalism, and I think that this is a very important issue, and this is also the thing which is sentencing this left liberal anti-fascism to puppeteering or some kind of clown work without any real effects inside the population as whole. You know, we don't want anti-fascism which would be just there to have a few pictures of a few hundred people waving some flags, and that to be the anti-fascism that we want. We want to have a collective rejection of the fascist. And I think that one of the reasons that we can see this kind of distinction between these two concepts is a lack of theoretical understanding of the concept of fascism within the left liberal movement, and the fact that all the people who are nationalists and who are, you know, very often you can see something like among the leaders or the people who are the main activists of this kind of left liberal anti-fascism, you can see a total lack of understanding of distinction between racism, fascism, nationalism, and this all brings us to the situation that we as anti-fascists should have, from the left liberal position, should have against us the majority of the society, including the majority of the young population, which is absolutely a hopeless position. And I think that our position always has to be to have the people together with us, or us to be with the people, and we have to always present the position which is the position of the majority of the population. I mean, I don't think to represent it. I mean, to in a political fight, we need to fight from the position which are acceptable to the majority of the population, which are not auto-marginalization positions, if that is the term I can use. And I think that we can see on the left liberal position, even if we can see some kind of growth, but this is a product of the time which passed, and not a short period of time passed since the real fascists were walking around. So we can see some growth, but I think that still that kind of activity is sentenced to the to be lost and to be ghettoized and kind of sect type of approach to anti-fascism. What we on the revolutionary left see as a mean of action, and this is what we were doing, I'm really not sure, for the last 6 months, but before that, quite actively and quite often, and well, what can I say, it gave some results. It was the non-hierarchically organized mass movement, which is not not having theoretical holes like equalizing of, for example, Bolshevism and fascism, which is like a very often theoretical and political error. I mean, I don't have anything nice to say for the Bolsheviks. I'm anarchist, and I don't want to sound like I'm defending anybody, but I think that it's very highly problematic if you fall for this kind of totalitarian extremes story that we get from the liberals about how those two systems are the same because they're totalitarian. I don't think that the term totalitarianism is very usable, or I don't think that it is very useful on if we are trying to build some kind of theoretical and political position. But not only that, also, as I say, the question of nationalism. I think that we have a perspective as a radical left-wing movement to mobilize a good number of the, for example, if we are talking about the youth, I think that is the interesting group for many of us, to mobilize a lot of youth, which is totally, how can I say, without any rights, totally underclassed, without possibility to get a job and things like that, and so on and so on. And we are not capable of doing that because we are not able to fight nationalism on the level where it should be fought, and to fight fascism on the street level where it should be fought in a concrete sense, in a concrete time. So that's one of the issues with this. And, well, I don't know if anything more on that issue can be said.
You mentioned that you weren't surprised by the reaction of the state at all, and that is a logical position from anarcho-syndicalism and from that analysis. Within the current political spectrum and within the current union spectrum, which is so fragmented, and after 20 years of a number of different crises, what do you think the question of the state as it presents itself now, where do you think your strongest position lies at the moment? I know it's, you know, the methods of anarcho-syndicalism are well known.
Yeah, of course.
But within the current situation in Serbia, where would you say is the strongest?
I'm absolutely sure that it is in these wildcat strikes which are popping up around Serbia in the last period. What we can see, and again, these are the things that I was following through the media only for the long period, that this is that after the first phase of privatization, or not the first, but first open phase of privatization, which started after the year 2000, we can see the effects of that coming to place in many industries, in many cities around Serbia, and we can see at this phase something that I could call a first phase of the labor mobilization, or the first level of that, of individual wildcat strikes, or not only wildcat, but strikes organized by the local unions or the factory level unions, and which are in this phase, even if pretty radical, not connected to each other, not solidarized, there is no global vision of what to do with all of this. But I think that this is the first phase of building of the union movement here, and I think it's very important to underline, especially for the people outside of Serbia, the fact that there is no union tradition in a real sense in Serbia for many years, and this is not only on the level of last 20 years, but we are talking about the period of Tito's regime, where the union, the only one that existed in those days,
like there was one party,
like there was one party, just didn't have any kind of union activities. It was used as a mean of controlling the working people by the party, which was controlling the union. So in the period after Tito's regime fell down, and or was supplemented by the Milosevic regime, you still had a big part of the working, unionized working class being in the union, which didn't have any kind of social activities, because there it was still under the control. It was a state union, as I think that is the best term to describe it. Then you had a split in this union made by the how can I say? Okay, it was a grassroots movement of the radical unionists, but which were supported by different opposition parties, probably foreign secret services and things like that. And then you had this other union central being created called Nezavisnost. And these are the two main union centrals. But what we saw is that in the beginning of 2000, when the change of the system happened, is we had Nezavisnost Union created by the more radical unionists fighting for the privatization. And the day in 2001, for example, when the privatization was really starting in a very, very heavy way, they didn't create a center for education of people for fighting against privatization or something similar. They created the Center for Privatization as an NGO, which was dealing with issues of how to privatize the whole industry. And I mean, that is our union scene. And apart from being anarcho-syndicalist, I don't think that anybody from the revolutionary left, except for some lost, you know, entries Trotskyists or something like that, would have any kind of hopes invested in this kind of union movement. And for me, this is very important, that now we can see a grassroots activities, even if it's coming sometimes from the form of the of those two union centrals, but we're talking on the factory level unions, which are organizing the activities, which are much more radical, and ready to somehow build, from my point of view, some kind of basis for a much more radical, self-managed, hopefully, union movement.
Well, the question of grassroots organization is very interesting, because Serbia has been a depoliticized country for Yugoslavia, was an utterly depoliticized country.
Yeah, well, is it a question on how you define politics? But
I think
but
in terms of grassroots politics.
Yeah, of course.
In terms of people taking politics in their own hands.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Yeah.
It was only after the start of the war that, you know, grassroots politics started to emerge in a kind of in a more concerted way.
Yeah.
And still, there was a big discrepancy between Belgrade as the capital and the provinces.
Yeah,
and would you say that the provinces are now stronger in terms of grassroots organization than Belgrade? And what is the relationship between the capital and the provinces in terms of grassroots organization?
Yeah, it's a question on how you define also the term grassroots, because, you know, from my point of view, I wouldn't call NGO movement or the civil society in a sense of a liberal concept of civil society. I wouldn't necessarily call it or grassroots. I mean, we have the situation that in Serbia, NGO movement is quite of an industry, if you like, in many aspects. I mean, I know people from different smaller cities who are registered different 10 different NGOs depending on the year that it was and the money that was sent for example, a woman, a gypsy, or I don't know, not gay organization, but some other organization of a different type. And this guy was just registering and organizing with his family NGOs for each year, for each project, and so on. And this is not an isolated case, I have to tell you.
An NGO dynasty.
Yeah, and it's not an isolated case. I think that is quite often a case. And for example, I think Kosovo is a good example of that. I was in Kosovo a few years ago, and there, like, the NGO movement is one of the main branches of industry and the sources of income for the population. So in this way, it's a question of do we call them grassroots movements, or do we call them a way that people are trying to survive, which I think is totally legitimate. Don't get me wrong, I think that thieves are quite okay. But I just don't want to equalize these two issues. Of course, to come back to your question, is that you can see the differences which are totally clear between Serbia, the rest of the Serbia, and Belgrade. Belgrade is like a rich oasis in the center of the hell of poorness. And this is absolutely clear, and in some way you can see a stronger reaction to that outside of Belgrade, and you can see that some of the let us call them grassroots movements are getting some steps and are starting to develop in a much better way than before. But still, on both levels, even in Belgrade or the outside, I still would agree with you that we are just in some kind of a basic baby phases of the development of the whole movement. And it's a question in which way it will develop. There is the population was depoliticized in that way, if we accept that term. But what we can see now is that we have a total ideological confusion, and I think this is very, very important for understanding how we are living our lives and how are we struggling in our lives. The whole concept of the left wing and right wing is totally lost here. With Milosevic being probably a typical social democrat in his days, of a social democratic chauvinist type that fought the First World War, and then people distancing it from them, from that position, but then coming to some kind of alternative nationalist positions. You can have, for example, see a huge amount of people who are anti-nationalist or seeing themselves as anti-nationalist, but coming from a very, very bizarre, almost racist positions, like people who are against Kosovo being part of Serbia because they don't want to have Albanian president, because there is 2 million of Albanians and they can elect the president in Serbia if they are part of Serbia. So in this way, you know, it's very, very hard to work. The whole civil society has many levels of this kind of racist politics integrated in itself, apart from capitalist politics, but it is going together. You know, for example, you can see that on the cultural level, we do this kind of cultural racism directed towards, for example, turbo folk music or people who are not from the cities. You have this kind of racism coming, saying, these are like rural bastards who are listening to this Asian music while we are nice Europeans that want to be in white
citizens
of Europe. You know, it's just the only thing which is lacking is like to say white citizens of Europe, and you know, you have a Nazi story totally. So in this way, I think what is the present short-term most important goal is somehow profilation or creating of a clear image of what the left wing would be, just in the broadest sense, and then trying to build understanding or consciousness of other differences.
You mentioned political confusion. I think that's really important, because you have, you know, methods which, you know, can be instrumentalized as anarcho-syndicalist methods, that of strike and sabotage and boycott, which are completely used in a you know, without the knowledge of, you know, and without the keenness to use them in the ends of, you know, grassroots organization, federalism, horizontal organization, all of these things. How do you think this sharpness, this keenness is going to emerge? What is
I'm absolutely materialist in that sense, and I do think that the consciousness comes from the praxis. And if you see, for example, how the 5th of October 2000 happened, when the Milosevic was taken down, you could say that like from the 2nd of October 2000 to 5th of October 2000, you could see like the anarcho-syndicalist scenario of taking over the state, because you had the general strike proclaimed on the 2nd of October, and then you had masses of people coming out and taking the streets, and then taking them and burning the parliament building at the end if you want, or you know. So in this way you can say you have a lot of strikes which are totally radical in a sense of people having fights with the police, but you also have two police unions which signed the statement that they are not going to beat up poor people, which is also a segment of a bizarre confusion that we are living in. I mean, you can even see this kind of acting of police being bizarre even in our case. For example, in our case, the police qualification of the deed was quite understandable, and then the court changed the qualification of the case to international terrorism. So in some way you can, I mean, the police is a very bizarre apparatus within the Serbia, and this demands a special analysis and so on. But to come back to your story, yes, you have a lot of radical strikes where people are blocking the streets, sabotaging, occupying their factories and so on.
Hunger strikes.
Well, I wouldn't say the... I think the hunger strike are totally lost method, because what I had experience with the comrades from our organizations going around Serbia participating in these things is that if you're not on the way of people who are ruling in Belgrade, you can die of hunger and nobody will give any fuck. That's absolutely what they are... they don't really care. You know, we had a situation, we went to a small city in Serbia, a small mining city, and we were invited by the miners there. So we went there, there was like 500 miners and maybe 50 of us. We stormed, the miners first of all had beaten up their union representative who sold them out, physically beaten them up. Then we occupied the headquarters of the mine and beaten up the guy who is the head boss of the mine. And absolutely, we could have burned the whole place down and nobody would give any care about that. And then, when all of these people moved to the highway, which is leading to Belgrade, and then blocked it, in a matter of hours, you had a huge response from the state and so on and so on. So in this way, I don't think that hunger strike is any kind of... I think that we have to be aggressive, not auto-aggressive, but aggressive towards the people who are creating these kind of surroundings and these kind of problems for all of us. So to come back again to your basic question is that I believe that through these kind of actions and trying to... I think that the praxis of strikes, of occupying, sabotaging the working places will be the one which is going to create the consciousness. Of course, there is a big part or a large part in creating this kind of ideological hegemony in propaganda, and this is also if you want to make this kind of distinction, we can say that objective factors are quite well going quite well, and now it's only the question that our subjective factors go to the level that they should be on, and we can have a real good time here. I mean, and I think that this will be the focus of our organization in the forthcoming period. This kind of creating these kind of links that you were talking about between people doing something and then understanding why this worked and why the other thing didn't work, and how this kind of a way of acting can be transponded to other segments of life.
So, the end, I wanted to ask you if you had any messages for your British comrades, if there is anything they can do in terms of solidarity, in terms of
I want to underline that our case is not over yet. We have we are still under the investigation for international terrorism. There are some voices that are saying that our charge will be changed in the next hearing on 23rd of March. But first of all, I mean, we are still in a struggle for proving that we don't have anything to do with the whole case at all, and not to be charged for some lesser crime. time. But not only that, we also have a case going on parallelly, which is linked with this political trial, and that is political trial against three of our comrades in the city of Vršac, who are from the local block of ASVI in Vršac, who were charged for obstructing the justice because they were putting the posters in places which are used for placing posters. And on these posters it was said freedom for the arrested anarchists. And they are against illegally charged. There is no crime or misdemeanor that they made. They are just politically charged. And on the other side we have a comrade from Croatia who is still in Belgrade, who cannot leave the country because he is under the same charge of obstructing justice, because he and another companera showed a piece of paper which said anarchism is not terrorism. And we are now under constant pressure from the legal system on the one side, and on the other side, especially we could see it on the celebration of 8th of March this year, a few days ago or a day ago, in which we saw a huge police pressure which is continuing upon us. We had a few comrades and companeras coming to distribute the leaflets of ASI about the 8th of March and the struggle of women for freedom and so on, and we were joined with the a manifestation of the syndicalist women, and we had the police coming and chasing us away from there. So we are still under depression, and we want to thank everybody who for great help that they showed us, but we want to say that we still do have problems, and we hope that we will be able to keep up with the international pressure. And of course, we are ready to help in any way the movement in Britain if we can from here. So just tell us, and we will throw some Molotov cocktails at the British embassy. It was a joke, of course.
And how can people stay in touch with you and with what's going on?
Hopefully from now on our website, our organization is now not working so much as in illegal fashion anymore. We are now coming back to the surface again with this mainstreamization of our movement. And hopefully our internet website will be full of information in a short period of time in English also. And of course the contacts there from our international secretariat and so on will be valid and usable for any kind of exchange of information.